Hello, hello, and welcome to my lovely, inspiring human potential community. To everyone tuning in, before we get started on today's topic, that is in pursuit of those keys to inner growth and following your heart to the life of an entrepreneur and to much more that I talk about, guide about, from the podcast to the blog to other online presences, which are known to those who continuously tune in. Special announcement, Anchor has allowed finally that listener support button, which means the world for everything that I pursue and wanting to share. And for those who are looking to support the inspiring human potential mission, its purpose, and anyone who believes in general in inspiring human potential, because that's one of those amazing things we can do and the online world has brought us to be able and do, connect, support, and together we will achieve that harmony worldwide. So if you wish to contribute because the inner growth process mindset has contributed to your life, or because you believe in inspiring the world through these different means, please do so. Thank you so much for doing so. And as always, you can reach out if you want to collaborate, if you want to share your story, if you have a personal development process mindset, something that can contribute to others in their unlocking of their untapped and limited potential, reach out to me. The blog luna12780.com has my email in the about section. And let's move on to today's topic. As always, the lovely online community has at heart us online entrepreneurs, content creators. We have many different names, but we are all here to inspire human potential in our unique way. And for the Inspiring Human Potential community, we have new podcast patron members only episodes coming this year, because Patreon has started something to support the podcast community, and we're going to use that in a way that expands the inner growth learning material and the ability for you to follow your heart, applying the things that we discuss in our daily Anchor IHP podcast show. So inner growth mindset, lifestyle choices, the journey, the way that you can work through anything that is arising at first as conflict, but that those who tune into any of the material, whether the podcast, the blog, or the website, know that's the opportunity for inner growth and for you to follow your heart. So I look forward to hearing from you all for this first round. It'll be the first year that we have patron members only podcast episodes. With your feedback, I'm sure we will continue to improve and expand all the material that is meant to inspire your higher human potential. I look forward to you joining us. Before we begin today's topic, I would like to share a bit about the foundation of all of the Inspiring Human Potential Inner Growth content. What you learn about and what we discuss has its foundation in a lifelong accumulated research that involves the fields of humanities and social sciences, philosophy, with a focus on existentialism, and recently added basics of neuroscience, physiology, and biology. This research continues, and the wealth of information that I share across different platforms is in the effort to support your inner growth, self-empowerment, conscious living, ascension, awakening, and personal development journey in a way that allows you to understand the distinct human characteristics involved in your day-to-day and overall life, alongside the choices you make, how you feel, and deal with events such as the unknown and unwanted. A simplified breakdown, just to give you an idea, and for the IHP community to keep in mind as you pursue inner growth and self-empowerment, is what is involved in the human's response to day-to-day events and life happening. We have been able to review this, and we always review some aspects throughout the episodes and all the content. One, the body's nervous system's defense mechanism, flight-fight response. Two, the heart's feelings, emotions, ego, self response. Three, the mind's conscious, subconscious, and conscious response alongside the established neural pathways, societal culture and knowledge filters, identity, secondary and primary consciousness aspects. This and more is what is involved as you tune into and read the IHP content, whether it be on the blog, the YouTube channel, patron membership site, or the website itself, or the podcast. You will always get to learn something about how to apply an inner growth mindset and lifestyle approach, how to follow your heart and lead with it, with that unconditional love, neutrality that we so much discuss, why it's important, and all of this allows you to tap into that infinite higher human potential, which is also a response that one acquires as a body, mind, and heart that is one within you with that ownership. Yesterday, we talked about how to transcend and go beyond the idea and feelings of baggage. And so this ties a little bit into life experiences, because essentially, as long as anything from your life is still connected to an idea and feeling that it weighs you down or that it is an impediment, there's not the complete ability to make the best of all those life experiences. It's not because you don't learn from them. It's not because you don't grow from them. It's not because of not achieving. We always achieve an awareness when you're experiencing something. Although, if the way of evaluating it and feeling through it stays in a constant, there's a slight expansion because, you know, there's variables around it that may look different and are different because of people involved or things involved. But the way you evaluate it, if it stays the same, that's kind of the, how can I put it? That's when you're not really moving in a direction of making it the most, since it weighs you down. So again, if we connect any part of our life to something that weighs us down, that's how it's going to feel. And so that's where you're not moving forward towards that expansion. I'm going to use a perfect example when I tell you that as an adult, what I see with individuals is the same as when I was a teenager. Those common data points for me that were immediately visible with the number of experiences required before you really say, okay, wait a minute, this isn't a coincidence. So the inconsistency, for example, of people to be able and express their feelings with transparency, so genuinely and with transparency, the more person had insecurities, the more they were not able to be themselves without the mask. So there would be behaviors, presentations that I could tell were their facade as a teenager. That's also something very natural. Many teenagers are, we all are, with that insecure ego, not to mention that we begin life with a helpless sense of self, a helpless ego, a body of us, not in our minds. The body of us is always prepared to defend us. So that helpless state is connected to then feeling insecure, secure. And we've also learned the development of the sense of self, the wiring, and how with secure attachment, with enough emotional support, a balanced, emotional, unconditionally loving, supportive household will allow us to know we have a right to exist, so do others, and therefore our self does not react. We, our brain, is not reactive immediately to anything that is stressful. Usually, you will find that people are reactive to those things that matter the most, that are connected to their identity, and that's when cognitive dissonance is happening. And most people, as long as they're unaware that we all have an ego and self, and as long as they're unaware of the ability to choose to be in neutrality in that 5D, unconditional love and light, from your consciousness, this means from your brain, your thinking and feeling. So as you start engaging with other people, you immediately know if you have self-esteem, lack of self-esteem, or if you're able to maintain your sense of self to balance, which means I'm here, they're here, we both exist. We know, physiologically speaking, what we are involved, our brain, the parts of the brain that light up, and the parasympathetic nervous system is involved with feeling compassion towards you and others. Tone is part of that. So if I'm thinking in a way about another person, even if I speak the words we're equal, but my tone is sarcastic, I don't really mean that. My body knows. Our bodies are organism. It's an organism that is a structure that lives, and it began, so our nervous system and our brain development, for those who are new, they don't know, from 0 to 2 years of age, your emotional brain hemisphere is the first part of the brain to develop. Your flight fight is organized. You have a default network that is established by 10-12 months, which means you will be engaging with people in the very way your body chose to defend you. Those behaviors, the implicit memory part, because we're going to have procedural memory and emotional memory, everything that you went through, your body experienced, and it decided how it was going to defend you. What does defend you mean? Means it's decided how to ensure the chemistry, because when we're crying and angry and upset, that chemistry is bad for our body if it's in that space for a consistent amount of time. The flight fight is here to save our lives, our actual lives. So when you are exposing, or your body's exposed to a level of stress, then the organs will start having an effect. Too much cortisol is poisonous. Too much adrenaline, I don't know about that one, but the point of the stress is that at a certain point, a child who's left unattended to cry, who's left to cry and therefore not tended to emotionally, eventually the emotional body shuts down. Your last nervous system's response, the freeze response, we have a lot of people that do not have empathy in this way of feeling because their emotional bodies are shut down. There's a lot of parents that were given the ability to allow self-soothing to take place because there are actually psychiatrists, psychologists who talked about it, and there are also those who deny the attachment theory, the fact that emotions are important. As with any subject matter, there's always going to be more than one side, and people will gravitate and navigate towards those who resonate with what they already feel is a truth. We're always motivated by what our ego self, our inner world, is going to say, this feels right. And you're not going to be aware of it in a way that says, you know what, I want to go towards what feels wrong. The people who are not tuned into their emotional body and to just their body, which would be all those individuals who have had their emotional body shut down, who have had a lack of regulation, so not secure attachment, avoidant, ambivalent, disorganized attachment, they have certain issues with being able to relate to people because there's not a sense of ease. The parasympathetic nervous system, when your parent holds you to their arms and puts your head on their chest, that's when your body feels safe and soothed. That's when you're not helpless. And so your body will remember, though, will memorize every time you did feel helpless. And for those infants that did not get, again, the emotional support, they grow up, and I've told you about that study, the short YouTube study that they showed on children who did not receive emotional tending. So those who went through emotional abuse and neglect, the way they were not playing with a game and immersed in joy, but they were vigilantly looking around, and some of those children even got anxious at having to hold these little cubes because they were trying to get them, they were trying to see, are you going to play, not play? The difference in behavior of infants from those who have had emotional love and tending to, and those who didn't. And those who didn't did not play, did not have fun. They were very much aware of their surroundings, and some trying to create contact with another adult, some simply trying to, you know, scope out what's going on. But it's all the body, because your body, again, is a living organism. It's you, and your nervous system has already been with the brain working to ensure your flight fight, to ensure you would be safe. And those safety measures are taken in a certain way that not everybody speaks of with, you know, the human being. The ego is what drives you. It is also what is trying to ensure it lives. It is here. The first no is trauma. First time you're negated food is trauma. The first time you're left alone and, you know, your parent isn't coming back immediately is traumatic. Trauma is an emotion that is not processed by your brain. which is why if there's too many of those moments, your emotional body needs to shut down, and why certain people have experiences where they're not really aware that they can experience more, but they can become aware. Mindfulness, meditation, conscious living, all these topics are coming up, and the tidbits of this emotion and ego and self and the needs that our bodies have is becoming more common knowledge. I saw a couple videos, I forget what it was about. It wasn't any life coach. These were either tarot readers or astrologers, and they mentioned themselves these pieces of information about the need for a secure attachment for a person to be able and be and feel safe and relate to others. So this is very important because our life, all of our life experiences, will involve the unknown elements of life with life alone, and or uncertainty unwanted with life alone, but also with people, family, friends, even strangers, and the entire world. So the human species, everything that is part of your storyline, what you gravitate towards whenever you're in any moment, and how you're reflecting upon something. Making the best of all of your life experiences is something you can do from a space of neutrality, because your body and your mind are not in defense mode. It's not because we have one note, one feeling, meaning you have one type of experience all the time. Making the best of all, again, life experiences involves actually being able to make the most of something that is hurtful, and not because you deny the emotion that is there, but because you don't have to sit in the consciousness of suffering. You don't have to sit in shame, guilt, apathy, all those emotions beneath fear, and which lead you to fear, which is natural for the body element, is the core of you. And that's why I began with sharing our foundation, your emotional brain hemisphere and your flight fight and your implicit memory. The way you behave has everything to do with your default network. And as I became aware while I was sharing with you an experience yesterday, that default network needs to be kept in the forefront, especially for those of you who want to be empowering leaders, because anytime a person is not kind, not tranquil, not at ease, at being themselves, their genuine self, at straightforward, okay, being able to be comfortable to speak their mind every time, it doesn't matter what it looks like. And yes, even the mean, quote-unquote, I'm thinking right now about those malignant narcissists that the psychiatrist in the narcissist class that I'm taking, they talk about. At the end of the day, that's a human being who does have an issue with feeling safe around people within their own body. There's a sense of self that has not been built from the depths of them. There's a sense of self that is only there because of the external. The malignant is because they're able to use their brain to such a level that they design and devise ways for people to hurt people. So what I'm trying to get at is they're smart and they're able to use that to their advantage. It's not about justifying, because obviously that individual needs to be kept and supported and helped to transcend and or change that behavior. But really, before that can even happen, they would need to become aware of the fact that they're not an evil monster, and that everything they're feeling, which is not pleasant, even though they may, depends on their environment, depends on what level of exposure they've had to additional information besides the storyline that they're already locked in, okay? And the individual does not build relationships necessarily, because that's the whole point of a disorganized attachment person. They do not have a sense of self that is whole. They have a fragmented sense of self, and I don't know if a malignant narcissist would be considered in the disorganized attachment, but I'm assuming so, because a disorganized attachment individual only creates bonds because they need to use them. Once they've gotten what they wanted out of it, they're able to dispose of that bond. And here's where the brain that did not develop in a way that allowed the impulses necessary to be able and, again, stay regulated with that attention. I say again for the regular listeners, remember the first week of May is when I broke down to you what this looks like. And the part that was made clear was that there's the inability of the brain to light up where it needs to be so that those parts of the brain get used, okay? And this is also why the attention span. You can tell by the way a person is looking and if they're absent and continuously disengaged, so that detachment is very visible. I've seen it before where you're talking, but somebody disengages. They're in another space. They're not listening to you, but they're present, but they're not. Even if they're hearing what you're saying, their mind is turned out. It's tuned off. And my friend who has a friend who is in this space of they have relationships, but they're not engaged completely. And it's definitely they're engaged with selfishness, meaning they're self-centered. They have a group though, they enjoy each other's company, but they have these moments where they stare out into nowhere. And she was the one telling me about this. And this is because I was telling my friend about the secure attachment, disorganized attachment, and then describing to them the nervous system's response, these infants and the way that a body is of an infant who's been not tended to a certain way. And in fact, this person has a younger sister or older sister, I forget which one it is, that needed more attention. And the parents basically gave all their attention to the other sibling because the other sibling needed that. We also don't know, obviously, the household environment the same way I have an ambivalent attachment from. Their household is a normal household. They're the third out of four or five children, and they got sick a lot. And the neuroscience psychiatrists make it very clear, in fact, with one of the examples that they give, if the parent, if the caregiver is not there to help regulate, when there's a deep emotion, the infant, the child, doesn't know how to regulate it. We don't know how to regulate things. We're taught. What does regulate mean? It means if I get upset, I'm shared and shown how I can manage it. So if I get yelled at because I'm crying, that's not helping me to regulate crying. It's going to help me defend from crying, which means I'm not going to be vulnerable. I may hold back tears, and I may even start feeling anger. Your body's going to defend you from the feeling. Not only were you crying, but then you got yelled at, okay? Keep these things in mind. Not everybody talks about that. So your feelings are very important from the core of you, first of all. The minute you can start reflecting on how you feel about expressing emotions physically, and then you work with neutrality, is the minute you're going to start being able to move beyond in your consciousness, move beyond the emotional weigh you down. And even if there would be numbness, let's say, because there's also those who have complete detachment, regular day-to-day lives, like this person and other people that I know. And just thinking of Dr. Bessel van de Kolk and his patient, the wife, who has learned in her lifetime, she learned detachment because as an infant, her mother was verbally abusive. So when she re-experiences this accident, while her husband feels fear, the body feels the feeling of fear, which is our brain, because it's our brain and nervous system. When I say body, not all the organs, even though the muscles store our emotions too, as one of my massage therapists shared with me in an article, but not to mention the neuroscientists. They talk about chronic pain as well, and how our body stores those emotions. Also as a Reiki master, and therefore somebody who does the energy therapy, when I work with the aura and the body, it's the aura. Obviously, I can pick up also on the physical body because it starts with our physical body, ethereal body. Then there's the emotional body. Then there's the astral, causal, and I forget, there's seven of them. I don't remember always all the order, but cosmic, I think, is the last one. What I was trying to get at is we tend to store or take those quote-unquote hits in certain parts of the body. So your body is actually teaching you to defend yourself, and chronic pain usually holds a memory or holds this one moment in time that it wasn't able to defend. And that's why the implicit memory is so important. And those doctors who work with the somatic approach are actually keeping the body and mind completely, because they acknowledge this very important part of us that began. That's our autonomous nervous system, which is the delta brainwaves. when you're in meditation, when you're in a place of calm, you access that. So you being able to access that plus the subconscious, plus the analytical consciousness and consciousness is what you get to do with that inner growth mindset, because you're connecting from cosmic consciousness to your secondary and primary consciousness. You're connecting to your thoughts and feelings, and with a relationship that you're going to build to and with the ego self to achieve self-empowerment. To achieve the ego self-empowerment, it's to achieve your own sense of security, your secure attachment, if you will, but also getting to work through the trauma. We all have trauma, and it's not a bad or good word, and some is deeper than others. But here, to this community, if you're tuning in, it means you're open to love, kindness, to neutrality. When they explain to us, physiologically speaking, the body to be in compassion, there's four parts of the brain that light up. This is for people who do compassion training, okay? So the isola, the amygdala, the temporal junction, and the prefrontal cortex. Now, if you want, tune into yesterday, spell it out again. And I've been spelling it out a little bit more than not, because if you learn that you can be in compassion, if you understand that physically, it's a physical thing, and when the temporal, when the temporal junction, well, that part is important to recognize where your ego self is. So when you're relating to other people because you've been through it, so let's talk about that. Most people will have gone through experiences and they will share. This is one of those aspects that the psychologists and sociologists always point out. People like to relate to other people because that means you're not alone. Who doesn't want to be alone? The ego self. At 6 months old, you have your first night terror. And at 6 months old, is when your body knows it needs a caregiver, and it will latch on to whoever it is that's tending to it. Doesn't matter what that looks like. So again, your sense of ease, do you need to think about that environment to the best of your ability? Because that will tell you, okay, I do know what it means to be in unconditional love. I also know what it means to be under stress. I also know what it means to be angry, to be sad. You evaluate what you know instinctively, that common knowledge of your experiences. Then there's the autobiographical experiences as well. Those are the memories from your childhood that stand out, and those are important. Now we have all of the implicit memories, which are not in our awareness, but as long as you are able to simply tune into your body, is it at ease? Is it stressed? When you breathe, where's your energy going? Where's your breathing going? It really is something you can work with. Now, I, for example, suffer from panic attacks, and so does my twin sister. There's a very big difference in how she relates to the way I'm managing. So she uses this word strong, and I know why she says it, because obviously I know what it's like to feel that level of helplessness, and anybody who has panic attacks knows the same, because it's literally the body thinking that it's dying, and it's the brain, and you know it's not. So you know that there is this fear. It's fear. It's fear in its pure essence from the body. And so she sees this as strength when I'm managing it in my way, and I try to explain this is not something that is about strength. I'm working with the knowledge that I have. So here, experiences is the word of the day. What are my experiences? My experiences are I began having these when I began finding out about the ascension, the 5D. So I remember clearly it was by accident, but I had begun to become integrated in that spiritual realm, right? In that information bank with crystals. And I already knew about tarot, but I hadn't begun accessing those clairs, I would say. That aspect of being able to tune in to source, and just it's information. To me, it's an endless of information of life that we can access, and every one of us does. When you think about the twin photon experiment and the holographic principle, and just when you think about the fact that we are energy, and that our energy, our neurons fire. The brain has neurons that fire and wire. The neurons that fire, they wire. Those storylines are very important. The way you feel, very important. Your default network, very important, guys. You've been living all your life experiences with a core that you may or may not be aware of from the essence, from the depths of you. Not with a word, not with a description, not with any label, but with just the feeling. I know mine, for example, is connected to life equals to me unconditional love, that sense of ease. And so really there's two distinctive feelings that come about, sense of ease, and then there's the opposite. And in the opposite, the difference is I've been able to bring myself to always having my core active to feel safe and dealing with the things that didn't feel safe, with the love, with the life, knowing that it's not a life threat, was something very intuitive, I suppose you could say. Then my environment was also conducive to that intuitiveness. Now there's a difference for my twin, and I'm wondering if it's because she came home after me, because you remember when we talked about siblings and there was a comparison of my autobiographical memory with the teacher who didn't help me the way I wanted to be helped, but who made me give a presentation about a situation, right? So that life experience taught me immediately that I needed to simply count on myself, that people would not help, or they would, but in the way they think they need to help, not in the way I wanted to be helped. And that wasn't something I regarded as good or bad. I regarded it as a data point that taught me, life experience that taught me. Others stay in a place of disappointment. And this is where maybe avoidant attachment begins building for some people when they first start getting shown, I'll help you, but not the way you want. And it's not because a person's thinking of it that way. You feel sad. You feel like, for me, obviously, to remember it, it's because I was not happy. I was not happy to be told, okay, here, go give a presentation to all the kids that have been teasing you and saying mean things about you. There was the one girl that was the instigator of it all. But at the end of the day, that's the simple memory is that. I don't remember after or anything else. I just remember, okay, then I will take care of this. Thank you very much. As a teenager, that repeated itself, but in an even more indicative way of the inconsistency and unreliability because of the dual face, of the lack of transparency, the lack of people telling me the truth, friends that love me not telling me the truth, family, you know, doing things that are inconsistent. So the repeat patterns at a certain point were too many to ignore. And while most people went down a specific storyline, humans are evil, my heart told me otherwise. Not to mention that wanting to help humanity, I wasn't going to go down the path of that, because that doesn't help humanity to expand. How do life experiences add up? They add up in the way that you are from your core. And I shared a very specific example for those who were tuning in yesterday of what it means to come at any experience with unconditional love, which is why I don't have baggage that is weighing me down. I have lovely and amazing life experiences. The ones that would be considered quote unquote baggage are nothing except for the opportunity, the greatest opportunity for me to commit to the choice of what I want to experience in life. And that commitment is what allows you to expand in that very moment, moment after moment after moment. You do not stay in the suffering consciousness. You are actually in ultimate consciousness, processing the emotions, the sadness, the upset, the grief, the everything. It can even be apathy. Your body doesn't stay in those emotions. Your body is in neutrality, exploring. You're in transcendent function. You're looking, as Carl Jung says, to two sides and or more without condemning or judging anything. You're evaluating. Making the most of all of your life experiences includes you evaluating the thoughts and the emotions together with neutrality at the foundation, because you want to tell your body we're safe. If you don't start telling your body you're safe with that tone and then tend to the emotions, so what I explained to my sister is not strength. I am paying attention to what works for me, and what works is, okay, let me go get my blood test. Okay, let me go get whatever. For the first years of me having these, I went and got a lot of different in-depth, making sure I'm fine. Once I realized that, yes, the body's fine, I'm like, okay, now let's work with the mind and let's work with the fear. And here, the spiritual world did support, but it wasn't because of knowing that ascension means the ego layers dying. That gave me an input. It helped me understand something, because the part of panic attacks and the ascension is important for anybody who follows those pieces of news that Schumann resonance, and there's a specific article that says you're not dying, it's the Schumann resonance. So just know that your body is more sensitive to light. It's more sensitive to what happens in the star, in the space, and the planet. And so yes, your body is actually adapting its vibration. There's a whole couple videos that I saw about it, and drinking water is helpful, but you want to work with your nervous system. Because physiologically speaking, what begins happening is your body is in the flight-fight mode, guys. I was having some, again, recently, and I was focused on breathing. Rhythmic breathing regulates your nervous system, and then the mind needs to be your partner. If you are gravitating, and this is what I told my sister, if you get frustrated at the fear at yourself and at the situation, you're doubling down. You're not in neutrality. Your body's already in this state. Then your mind is judging your entire feeling of helplessness and feeling that you don't want to be there, that you're not supporting. It has nothing to do with strength. It has everything to do with right there, making the most of that moment. When I am in those moments, I get to practice physical mastery. And I actually have been looking to move away from saying I prefer, not prefer. Because again, if you're giving yourself these highs and lows, these categories, your body knows this. And so of course your body is going to be like, oh, well, you don't prefer it. That's not going to help you. See, that right there is in the subconscious. It's not even subconscious and conscious. It's you thinking anything your body knows. It's a part of you and you're a part of it. And I wanted to read you this quote. This is from a government tech article on budget and finance. It's the, let me see what the title. So, Resilience Rules Leading IT Through Lean and Flush Times. This is a government chief information officer, and they're quoting him. And I wanted to read to you the quote because this made me think our bodies and how our life experiences begin building with the body and mind, okay? With your implicit memory. You don't just abandon what worked, what helped you survive. You still need to be somewhat hyper-focused in the flush times. Otherwise, when you get to the lean times, you won't be prepared for it. Remember, I was telling you about change, and for me, it's always been clear that the core doesn't change. You expand or you stay your core. When you stay your core, you're allowing fear to dictate. And it isn't good or bad, because there's always an average and moderate. And remember, every human's body, the ego self, the first nervous system's response when the ego self feels threatened is societal engagement. This is why there are ego mind and ego spiritual based leaders who have a lot of followers. You will navigate towards those who speak the language your body speaks, your heart and mind speak. Those who tune in regularly, you are inclined to be in 5D consistently, in enlightenment consistently, in ultimate consciousness consistently, in that self-empowerment from the ego self consistently. You're not one who thinks that being a human being is good or bad, that having an ego is good or bad. You understand that vortex, that the world does revolve around you, but it doesn't, because you coexist. You're willing to be in a space of, I'm going to practice being the expanded version. And you understand at this point, and we'll be integrating more topics in the next year to come of law of attraction manifestation to make them more tangible. Right now, let's stick to a second what I'm getting at. Your body has a default network and you don't know it. None of us did, none of us do, and we will know it at the very least to in impulses on our own and with support. It's all about where your attention navigates. If you're battling life and thinking of life as a battle, that's what you're going to lead. If you see life and people as not the battlefield, you're going to allow yourself to make the most and the best out of all of your experiences. When I was going through my little, falling into the abyss of never-ending abyss that I had no idea when, I would land, I wasn't in a place of joy. I wasn't in a place of upset, meaning anger. Well, I was frustrated at certain points, and I was definitely very, very sad. Sad would be the best way to describe that. But I also knew, because once you know that life is all about life, you kind of just sit through and allow things to take place. It's not because of a preference. It's because that's the only thing you can do. Time is the only thing that leads us always to answers. And the minute you can remember that life experiences give you the opportunity to expand your consciousness is the minute you have a different starting point. The panic attacks. I began doing, tangibly speaking, what I knew would let my mind be at ease because my body is fine. I started finding out this ascension stuff. I was like, okay, well, here's my body is connected to what's going on here and here and here and here. And then at a certain point, I transcended everything, bringing together human and spiritual elements, meaning, okay, now I know these labels, these words, these concepts that these people talk about, but essentially I'm a human being who thinks and feels and has this nervous system, my autonomous nervous system. Guess what? I most likely have stored the way that I assimilated my trauma when I was a child, because yes, I have secure attachment, but we all have trauma. And here's how, and here's where. We can always connect everything we go through to this lifetime. And I share this particularly with those who are more of in 4D space with the astral and ethereal realm. It's a beautiful space. Being involved in energy, spirituality, concepts, and everything declares amazing. It's also amazing to be a human being and to interact with people and to be able to share with you guys. Hey, guess what? If you physiologically can practice compassion and know that the ego self is not this evil thing you need to get rid of, but if you actually just engage in transcendent function, as Carl Jung, psychologist, speaks, and know that your body, so take a look at somatic approach, know that your body is your core, and it stored everything you experienced, so your primary consciousness began experiencing life before you can even remember. And so you have implicit memory, and then you also have explicit. And here's where your secondary consciousness, when you began thinking, oh, and by the way, by 15 months you can feel shame, and there's something called a cycle of shame. And if you were not given a sense of security, your body doesn't actually know the soothed state that well, and it's physiological. You're not a monster, you're not evil, you're not emotionless. Your body actually is defending you. Why did I read to you that quote? I read you the quote because you don't just abandon what worked, what helped you to survive. Our body, when Dr. Bezel says, he says, your body, which is the brain when it's developing, okay, is going to help you survive the worst case circumstances. The neuroscience psychiatrists make very clear, the body memorizes hurt before anything, meaning it will remember hurt. Why? Not because the world is a scary, mean place, because your body does not know your regulation. That moment is unknown, okay? And here's the thing, if you can stop being your worst critic and just allow yourself to know, I have fear. This is what I tell my sister, there's fear, it's okay. I'm allowed to be afraid. I'm allowed to feel helpless. I'm allowed to be vulnerable, because I'm a human who feels an area of emotions and who has a secondary consciousness, the human condition. I know that I know that I don't know when death is coming. Dealing with uncertainty, unknown, unwanted, unexpected. This is the first main module of the Inner Growth Program. From within, getting to know and doing things from within with the essence of you, which is not in harmony until you bring mind and heart in harmony, which is also involving the body to say we're safe. It's okay that another acts the way they act, or this has happened in my life. I can work with this. And the going with the flow. People want to go with the flow because they want to experience life. Nobody's going to say, I don't want to change. And somebody's going to go tell them, oh, you don't want to change, because there's a minute of a couple of things that a person's going to react a certain way, because you don't abandon what worked for you. Your body is something you need to keep in mind. And the more you can do that with the breathing and the knowledge that there is the autonomous nervous system, first of all, and either you feel soothed or you don't, and you can practice all of these aspects from your consciousness to evaluate one given moment in time from the ego self of you, the minute you're engaging. And that is where you're going to be able to make the most of any of life experiences, whether they be joyous or the opposite. And for the opposite, you gain a sense of enlightenment, awareness, and you move out of that which does not feel right. The desire needs to match the feeling. As Abraham Hicks points out, that's when you know you're in your vortex. That's when you're matching your vibration. You're matching what you really want. If you get something that doesn't feel right, that's when you get to expand, because you're going to be like, wait a minute, I didn't want this. I didn't ask for this. And we'll continue on tomorrow more, but I have to let you go now. And hopefully, though, this gives you at least a beginning of an imprint to how you can navigate life. And even when those moments are in a space of emotional depth, if you stop relating to them in twos, so good or bad, preference, not preference, that's how you're going to give the cue to your body. We're safe, we don't prefer it, but you know, we can work with it. And there's always going to be a process before you get to the advanced place of the inner growth program, which is you applying impartiality. You first start making choices, the beginner's journey, that make you happy. It's very, you know, on the conscious surface, you work with what makes you happy, the people you want, the people you trust, all of that surface stuff. Intermediate is the toughest, quote unquote. It's only tough because people get stuck in their ego for the unwillingness, quote unquote, again, to recognize we're all humans, we're all special, we're all the same, we're also not special, but you're unique, you are yourself. Nobody has your core, and you don't have their core. And so don't make hypotheses on what somebody else is doing, why they're doing, on what they should be doing. Disengage and apply your thoughts and work on your emotions for your life. If you spend time thinking of other people, that is time spent on somebody else's life, not yours. Spend time on why you're even contemplating another human being's life. Spend time on why are you fixating, and where is your storyline? What is your ego looking at right now that you can actually say, wait a minute, you know, I'm actually just dealing with emotions. I'm upset. And you move into a place of, okay, so what am I going to do about it? Life experiences lead you to expansion when you are making the most. They will lead you to repeat scenarios when you're simply doing that default network with the storyline that built and built and built. And by those teenage years, you begin sticking to something. When I share with you what I repeatedly saw as an adult, I shared with you the part that I have more in-depth knowledge, because I was gaining, and or I began at a certain point gaining information about the nervous system, about the ego self, and about the way the body memorizes everything. This is a new element, right? The body element. We didn't have it before. Now there's like a big core, and it helps. It helps the inner growth process and journey and everything, because it's like, okay, here's the other element beneath the surface. Just pay attention to them all together, and you'll bring yourself to a space of where you want to be. Time and time again, emotionally speaking, with your life, with fulfillment, and you actually get to build a sense of self that allows you to be comfortable to be yourself with the virtues and the vices. So, looking forward to hearing your thoughts and experiences. Calling in on Anchor, leave a voice message, and you can also always email me. You find the email in the about section on the blog, luna12780.com, and on the website, inspiringhumanpotential.com. Have a great day. Sending you all lots of love, hugs, and smiles.